for tuning in to the Love Breezy Bree Yoga Podcast. My name is Bree, and you can find me at lovebreezybreeyoga.com. Check out the show notes for more information, including a link to my website. Thank you so much for listening. Namaste. Namaste, Yoga Podcast listeners. Today's episode, Anatomy of a Yoga Class, is actually a snippet from Lesson 1 of the Yoga Teacher Training Module on Anatomy and Physiology that I am currently leading. This complete episode is a part of a 2-hour Lesson 1 from Session 1 that you can find in today's show notes if you wish to listen to the entire thing. So I hope you enjoy. This is also really appropriate if you love sequencing your own home personal practices, or you wish to lead maybe some friends or family members, or if you are curious about becoming a yoga teacher, you're going to enjoy this entire series that I will be sharing here on Yoga Podcast. Namaste.
Right? Okay. So now we are going to conclude today's session with the anatomy of a yoga class. I'm going to go through this a little bit faster than obviously we did in live session because we are going to talk about it again in the next session and probably in many cases all of the sessions. So I'm just going to go through the categories. This isn't the only way to think about it, but it is a very effective way to think about it at this point in your juncture. Now, if you've ever practiced a set series and you like to know what's coming next, there's a rhyme and reason for that. It's a self-regulatory way of practicing. You don't have to think about what's coming next because you've memorized what comes next because it's in a set sequence, right? Sort of like Ashtanga or Bikram, or even could be your way of teaching. Typically, I tend to teach in a way where my students probably can guesstimate what's coming next with a few variations that I might populate here and there. But for the most part, they have a general idea that this is my style of teaching, and that's calming to the nervous system. But there's also enough surprise to keep them engaged in learning something new, but also not in a way where it feels like they're constantly looking for the next cue or looking up to see what I'm doing and they can never be present. So you'll learn that art of sequencing later. This is more of like the science of sequencing now. So we're just going to assume we're talking about a 60-minute class, but of course you can do a 10-minute practice and still add all these elements in this order. You just have to decide that you're going to do one thing instead of five things per element, right? So I have this dialed in with 7 different elements. So lucky number 7. And the first element is just centering and grounding. And you can do this in a multitude of ways. You can have an intention or dedication, a mantra. You can utilize chanting. You can have a moment of silence or prayer, or in some cases, journaling even. You can have a meditation, which can look in any capacity, as there's many, many ways to do meditation. It could be guided meditation. It could be private meditation, personal, quiet meditation. There's a lot of ways to do this. And then, of course, pranayama practice, right? So this is a nice way to center and ground. This can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on what it is you're doing. You can choose to do 2, 3, 4 elements, 1 element. And the point is that we make sure we sandwich the practice in with some really intentional somatic healing practices, such as grounding techniques. And that's what makes yoga a healing modality, really, in my estimation. It's not the middle part where we're going through the flow or whatever it is that you're doing. It's really how we start and end because the nervous system is taking cues as to what is going on. And when we sandwich in whatever it is we're doing, whether difficult or not, in with grounding practices, then we are teaching our nervous system to show up in a new way, right? And this is true of all things. You know, starting your morning in a grounding way, ending your day in a grounding way, is going to look very different no matter what you do in the middle. If you can manage those, it tells your mindset, it tells your subconscious that everything's okay and you're made of peace. Imagine that. And that's where we really fight disease proactively, is with peace. So we center and ground. And then number two is we warm up. And dynamic movement is typical, but not the only way, you know. But just some gentle movement of the body through gentle stretching movements, or in some cases, sun salutations. And there's, you know, again, I won't go too deep into the poses and postures in this particular recording, because we're going to talk about this in way great detail next session and beyond. So for now, just to put in your mind, because you're a practitioner, you've probably warmed up with sun salutations. Or in my case, when I teach yoga, I have completely altered the sun salutation way of being, just because there's a lot of different ways to kind of modify sun sals to where it's really palatable for everyone. But essentially, there's a lot of dynamic movements and stretching that's going on with the breathing. So you do that for about 5 to 10 minutes, give or take. And then number three is what I call the body of the sequence, or, you know, the actual main part of your plan, your class, your program. And you can theme this in a lot of different ways. You can theme it anatomically, meaning everything you do is to open up your hips. Everything you do is to, you know, open up your shoulders or to release back pain. I mean, you can, you know, do it from a therapeutic anatomical perspective like that. Or you can try to focus on getting the body used to inversions. You can focus on a peak pose or variations of peak poses, meaning like we're really going to focus on balancing today, and we're going to do lots of different ways to get to like a main balance point. And we'll talk about stuff like that, because there's things you can do in the body to help you balance. Remember I mentioned if you have locked knees and you're dizzy from being upside down, and then the next thing you know, someone's trying to put you in a balance pose and you're just wondering, why am I not doing this, or I'm not capable. There is an art to trying to encourage the body to lean into the balance when it's time to come. So we'll definitely be broaching that in really great detail, such as like opening up the hips and just lots of cool things to remind the body to prepare for other stuff, which if you think about it, makes sense, right? You don't want to just take off sprinting. So you can theme your class energetically, right? You can say we're working on heart openers, heart chakra. You can theme the class with mental health, right? We're wanting to focus on self-care, positive affirmations. You know, there's lots of ways you can cue in a way that helps your students bring their attention back to that. You can theme your class on an experience, you know, utilizing vivid imagination and visualization techniques. So there's lots of fun ways to kind of sandwich in all the delicious innards of your sandwich, right? For me, PB&J. And then number four, after you've done the bulk of your sequencing or the bulk of the movement, then you want to slowly start to draw your awareness back to the floor. And this doesn't mean that an entire sequence can't be on the floor, or the entire sequence can't be in a way that's I'm not mentioning. Again, this is a basic approach, but there are definitely, I've taught many a sequences that are floor-based with pretty much no standing poses, or zero in some cases, or you chair yoga, yin yoga. I mean, there's a lot of yoga where it is floor based. So even though I have seven concepts here, this could easily be just six if you took out the floor work. But if you left the floor work and you didn't want to take it out and you just wanted to reappropriate it, you could say this is where you cool down with stretching in particular, with twists, maybe belly work. So we call that like prone work or supine work, where you're on your back, through the floor work, or just really focusing on more static stretching. You know, this is appropriate time to add in static stretching. Since we already did the dynamic warm up, the body's loose, you know, the muscles are not, you know, going to tense up and tighten on you. So this is a good time to hold poses longer, stretch more intentionally, do more twists through the body. This also doesn't mean that floor work can't be challenging, right? Think of shoulder stand, which is a very advanced pose. Think about plow, think about fish, all very advanced poses, right? So this isn't just that this is like a total cool down if you don't want it to be, but it also can be, right? Okay. And then there's other balances too that are completely on the floor. So it's how you want to go about this part. And then if not already, then you can go into a more intentional cool down. And this is where, you know, maybe you're hanging out in a happy baby or a side body twist of sort. You know, this is where you're really intentional about not getting the heart rate higher. So even though you're on the floor and there was more challenging floor postures to utilize, we want to go opposite of that so we can start to calm the body down. And then, of course, we have final relaxation, Shavasana, or, fetal posture, or maybe a combination of different things. But most importantly, you don't ever skip this part, because, again, this is a grounding exercise, and this teaches the nervous system that everything that came before it was intentional, meaningful, and appropriate. And I mean that in the way of from the nervous system's point of view, not from the actual physical, exertion part, but just the body really does need to feel like, okay, this is okay. Like, I'm laying here now, I'm calm. And there's lots of things you can do before or after Shavasana. Leading from cool down to Shavasana, you could do intentional pranayama practice. You could do intentional meditation here. You can repeat how you started class with how you end class. You can leave your students in Shavasana and in class in that way. You can ask your students through a series of ways of bringing them back to a seated posture. And you can close the class in beautiful ways that are, you know, poetic or lyrical or singing bowls or anything. And you can create a beautiful moment that allows the closing to have gratitude and real connection, and just reminding the student of why they've chosen yoga to be a part of their life, essentially, right? There's a lot of things that we all could be doing physically with our bodies. We could be doing and may do in tandem and as well, right? We may also do Pilates. We may also go on jogs. We may also swim. But why are we doing yoga, and why is yoga a little bit different? And it's because of that mind, body, and potential for spiritual connection, right? It's what makes the practice a true somatic healing therapeutic practice in a lot of ways, when we think about it from this perspective. Doesn't mean that yoga can't be utilized in other ways, and that this is the only formula and you have to open your class away and end it this way. But I can definitely guarantee that if you take into account a way for the nervous system to appreciate the physical awakening that the body just received, that the mind was connected to, then it's going to be so advantageous for the student, for yourself. So that was everything. Other than what I just discussed in this lecture, in live session, we did some really cool bonding exercise. One was the kind eyes exercise, where you envision someone who you love who just had the kindest eyes in your mind. And then you try to encourage yourself to have those kind eyes. And as well as imagining a child coming up to you out of nowhere and needs help, and the type of kind eyes you would offer that child to make them feel safe and secure and like they chose the right person, right, to help them. And then we practiced utilizing those kind eyes on each other by just, you know, circling each other and offering kind eyes without, in most cases, without using verbal cues to compliment our kind eyes, which was really hard, especially upon meeting someone for the first time. And then also how to offer, you know, body language such as smiling to encourage those eyes to be more kind. And then we practice what I call ojos, right? And it's where, you know, you practice giving another human a dirty look. And then we did silly faces. And really, my point was, one, you know, we're not too cool for school, you know, but also forget everything you're going to learn in this 200-hour yoga teacher training or immersion, right? If you cannot encourage yourself to exhibit kind emotions through your facial expressions and body language and make yourself available as a safe space and to be able to hold space for others and create sacred space for others, then you are going to definitely have a challenge in sharing this beautiful practice of yoga with others in the capacity that you may want to. And I've met many of yoga teachers who have a part of this very needed trait, skill, talent. Well, it's a skill. You can learn it if it's not natural for you. And I'm hoping to teach it to you. And it's disconcerting considering that I need to be feeling as safe and secure as I can so that I can invite the healing mechanisms that yoga offers intuitively into my practice. But I can't feel like that on top of being in a public place, in most cases, right? I'm not practicing at home where I feel really safe and secure. I can't control my environment in this public space. I'm with strangers. I'm with people I know, but I'm with strangers. You know, I can't control everything in the space around me. So I need to feel as safe and secure as possible. And the yoga teacher, the guide, the facilitator is 100% encouraged to help offer this opportunity to their students to the best of their ability. And kind eyes, a smile, eye contact, connection are all beautiful and what I deem to be simple, authentic ways to connect with others. You do not need to know what that person's favorite color is and, you know, where they went to college and how many kids they have to connect with them. You have to imagine they're that kid running up to you looking for help, and you want that kid to feel safe in that split second. And I can tell you, when we did this exercise, when I brought up the version where the kid runs up, everyone intuitively got kind eyes and smiles and soft facial expressions and calmness in their body immediately. And I made a very verbal note to everyone about it. Whereas before, I saw a lot of struggle, but you may be challenging you to notice when you take yoga, are you receiving that connection? And are you giving that connection? Because you're also called to a very important responsibility and action. When you are the student in class, you should be able to co-regulate with other students and offer safe and sacred space as well. You have the knowledge and the awareness, and you have no excuses now. So even though I know just a couple of days ago, you probably could sneak into class and stay in the corner and quietly do your practice. And I'm not saying you can never do that again, but I'm saying you can also offer kind eyes, a gentle smile, a little connection to the humans around you. And when in doubt, just imagine that kid needing help. So that will conclude today's lesson. I hope that you enjoyed every bit of this. It was such an honor for me to guide you. We have several more sessions together throughout this training. And if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. Namaste.
Thank you so much for listening to Yoga Podcast created in 2018. Did you know that you can listen to hundreds of free audio yoga classes dedicated to meditation, mindfulness practices, and of course, asana, as well as tons of amazing information for your personal and sacred practice on and off of the mat? Check out today's show notes for a link to my website, lovebreezybreeyoga.com. You will also find a link to iloveyogatherapy.org, a new online resource center for yoga therapy and somatic healing practices and techniques. You will find a ton of information, videos and articles and case studies if you are interested in learning more about yoga therapy and Ayurvedic practices. Thank you so much for listening. Go in peace. Namaste.